It would just give a little, you know, profile on some of the guys that maybe people don't know that much about. You know, everybody kind of concentrates on Bobby, and, you know, in some degree, rightly so. But as an assistant basketball coach, how would you describe your role, what your job is?
I guess my role here would be to make this team as good a team as it could possibly be from that position. And that would entail doing a good job recruiting, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, secondly, help it out on the floor.
Yeah. What's your favorite aspect of your job?
The thing I enjoy the most is individual player development.
Mm-hmm.
Working with certain kids on certain things and then seeing those kids improve.
Yeah. Are there certain pressures that come with your job that maybe the average person maybe doesn't know about?
I think there's pressures with any job at this level. I recall when I first took the job, I talked with someone, maybe it was the Atlanta Constitution, and they were saying, you know, Sherman, you got some big shoes to fill, you know, coming in and taking Perry Clark's place and this and that. But I think that those pressures come with the territory.
Mm-hmm. I know that you are, you're typically known as a tremendous shooting coach. Do you like working with kids on their shooting?
I really do enjoy that. One of the things was, you know, when I played collegiately, everybody, you know, the thing was I was pretty good shooter. I hate to pat myself on the back, but I was taught by some pretty good people, Lou Campanelli at James Madison at the time. And I had a chance to coach under Lou Campanelli at Cal.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked extensively with Kevin Johnson, who was a terrific player, terrific playmaker, and got him to the point where his south side shot was very consistent.
Is there a key to being a good shooter?
I think it entails a number of things, but one thing that some people always overlook is confidence. You got to instill in a kid the confidence that he can take the shot and that he will make the shot.
Are great shooters born?
I don't think that great shooters are born, no. I don't think that. Well, I think, you know, you look at people like Larry Bird, terrific, prolific shooter. But, you know, you hear all the stories about how much he worked on shooting, how many endless hours he spent in the gym practicing, and how even before games he would come out like an hour before game time and shoot like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of shots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a combination of, you know, being taught the right way, first of all, and proper technique, and secondly, and just it's not practice, but it's almost perfect practice.
Mm-hmm. When you were at Maryland, was Ernest Graham and Brian Maggett there?
Ernest Graham was. Brian Maggett had left. I think Brian Maggett transferred.
That's right, he did.
He did.
Yeah.
But Ernest Graham was there, and Albert King, Buck Williams.
Well, Ernest and Brian were two amazing shooters when they would get on hot streaks.
Right? Exactly. I tell you, Ernest Graham, and again, that's why throughout, sometimes it's not all technique also, because Ernest did not have what you would consider a textbook jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
His elbow was out too much, but because he just really worked at shooting and he had the confidence, he became a very good jump shooter.
He would get on those streaks and he didn't miss there for
exactly.
A while. Who's the best shooter maybe you've ever worked with? Is there one that stands out?
The best pure shooter I've ever had a chance to work with was Greg Manning. I don't know if you remember Greg Manning at the University of Maryland. A kid that most people consider too slow to play in the league, but Greg, he could shoot it with the best of them.
Dennis Scott would probably have to rank up there too.
Dennis Scott, Greg Manning, Dennis Scott would be definitely up there. Dennis, and I feel I'm embarrassed that I overlooked that, but Dennis is definitely one of the premier shooters. How about that? Dennis is a great shooter in that he's so strong. I think it takes a lot of, it takes an adequate amount of strength to be able to shoot. He has great strength in his wrist. And I've seen Dennis just step across half court and just pull up and take, you know, and shoot it from there, and mostly with his wrist.
From when you first started coaching in the late 70s, is it maybe a little bit harder now to be a coach than it was maybe back then?
In terms of what do you mean?
The kids that now come, you know, I graduated from high school in 1979, and I don't even know, you know, some of the kids in high school now, it just seems like it's a totally different world than when I was. Have you seen that maybe kids have changed over the 15 or 12 or 13 years you've been doing this?
Not really. I don't see that much of a change. If you talk about attitudes and approach towards the game.
Yeah.
Not really. I think what's happened is it starts off with recruiting, and if you recruit a certain type of kid, then obviously you're going to get a certain type of kid. And I think I've been very fortunate at Maryland, at California, and here at Georgia Tech to have good kids in the program, kids that are very coachable, kids that understand why they're here at Georgia Tech, and I think that makes our job a lot easier. I think from a skill point of view, I think sometimes kids get so caught up now into, they get more focused on, let's take the ball to the hole, let's dunk. And I think that's why jump shooting has kind of slipped away a little bit from some kids. It's gotten to the point where kids aren't as accurate from the field as they used to be, because now it's more of an emphasis on being creative, on playing like, say, Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan, and taking everything to the hole.
Yeah.
And I think that stuff sometimes, when kids don't really spend the time on jump shooting the way they used to. And that's a case in point. It's like there was a stats came out last week about the national free throw shooting percentage, and that was down considerably over the last few years. And I think it's just a big, and I told a guy who interviewed me about that, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that kids are spending more time on the one-on-one type stuff, taking the ball to the hole, as opposed to shooting, free throws and shooting jump shots.
What's the toughest part of your job, would you say?
I would have to say the toughest part would be, no doubt about it, recruiting. Because obviously recruiting is the backbone of any program. If you're going to continue to be in the top 20 year in and year out, you got to consistently get the talented players. And now it's getting more and more competitive. It's getting more and more competitive, and it's tougher in that the NCAA has imposed these restrictions in terms of time restrictions, limitations on when you can go out.
Yeah, the NCAA has come out with some scholarship cuts and some of the other things. What do you think has been the thing that made the recent NCAA new regulations, which one has been the toughest to adjust to?
I haven't felt the brunt of the scholarship limitation yet, but I think that's going to be ultimately, when it gets down to 13, that's going to be tough to deal with. And it won't affect a program like Georgia Tech as much as other programs because, traditionally, Bobby, we've always had a short bench. But programs, I think it hurts the kids themselves, high school kids, that it limits the opportunities that they will have. Because I think as a college coach now, you're not going to take chances on a kid that we used to consider a project.
Does Tech's tough academic standards, does that make it sometimes a little tough recruiting at Tech?
The academic standards here at Tech are pretty sharp, and obviously that makes it somewhat tough. But I think now with the overall NCAA requirements, it's not overly tough. it's always a concern. I think when we go into a kid's home, he understands that should he decide to come to Georgia Tech, that it's going to be demanding not only in basketball, but it's going to be twice as demanding in the classroom. And that, again, I think that goes into selection and into who you will recruit ultimately.
Does recruiting like you do, do you have to have a coach or like yourself, do you have to have a fire that burns inside of you to go after these guys? I mean, because it seems like if you were passive about it, you wouldn't get anybody.
Oh, true. I think it's a certain mentality that all recruiters have to have. And I don't want to say it's a salesmanship, but it's you have to, first of all, feel good about the program and believe in the program wholeheartedly in order to make that work. One of the things I'd like to add also is that one of the advantages that we have here at Georgia Tech and that we've used in my 5 years here is that Bobby Crimmison's done a great job of creating an opportunity for incoming kids. And what I mean by creating an opportunity is that, you know, when Kenny Anderson leaves, well, there's a situation with Travis Best. You know, when Tommy Hammonds left, Malcolm Mackey came into the program, and he was going to shine. And we've gone down the list, and I think hopefully this year, when Malcolm graduates, we'll be able to bring in a big guy that can step into Malcolm's shoes. And that means a lot to kids these days, the opportunity to come in and play as a freshman.
I know Martez Moore said that was one of the big reasons he wanted to come to Tech, is because he could play.
Exactly. And I think most of the kids around the country, that's got to rank one or two with their priority as to why they would choose a particular school.
Tech, I mean, Bobby's philosophy has typically been quality over quantity. You know, you have some teams like North Carolina that have, you know, 15 All-Americans on their bench, but Bobby typically goes after guys. Do you think... does that make sometimes recruiting, does that put any pressure on recruiting, do you think, sometimes?
Oh, I think it puts an immense pressure on us to go out. First of all, evaluation is critical. You have to make sure that you correctly evaluated a young man with the understanding that he's capable of coming in and starting in your program in the ACC and being not only competitive, but being, you know, a situation where the kid can almost be rookie of the year in the league. There's some short sides to it, and this happened a few years ago. In the event somehow we missed out on our target recruit.
Like when you had to get John and Brian.
And I said that initially that, you know, that created a problem when we missed out on the Brian Reese. We ended up with John Berry and Brian Hill, but, you know, as you look at it, John Berry came into the program and in his second year was able to, after his second year, was able to get, was the number one draft choice. Not a number one draft choice, but a first round draft choice.
Right.
I think Bobby has done a great job over the years. The first few years Bobby was here, I thought recruiting was especially tough because it hadn't been done here at Georgia Tech. And I think it was a tougher sell at that time. And we talk about it now that, you know, after you've proven to people that you can continue to be a very solid top 20 team with the attraction of Atlanta and also the educational opportunities here, you can go out and recruit high caliber kids year in and year out.
Do you think Bobby ever and you ever have the thought that, well, maybe we could should go after a few more? Do you ever have second thoughts about the philosophy of quality over quantity?
Yeah. I'll tell you, I read it that my first, when I was interviewing for the job, Bobby and I talked, and I asked Bobby who was he recruiting that year in that class, and I asked Bobby to bail me out a recruiting sheet. And after I got the recruiting sheet, I looked at it, and I remember calling Bobby back and saying, Bobby, should we, like, add to this list? I have a few kids that I've been recruiting that we could add to this list. And Bobby, without hesitating, said, no, I think that list is fine. We just stick with that. And as it turned out, you know, that that fall, we ended up signing the best recruiting class, I think, in the history of Georgia Tech, with Kenny Anderson, Malcolm Mackey, Ivano Newbill, and Darryl Barnes.
Do you, what's that like? I mean, I know this is a kind of a broad question, but coaching under Bobby, do you feel like, are you learning a lot, you know, and is it a fun experience for coaching under Bobby?
I think you get out of a situation what you put into it yourself, and am I learning a lot? Yes, I'm learning a lot because, you know, every day is a learning experience here. And I'm not saying it facetiously. I'm saying that, you know, we spend a great deal of time meeting every morning, 2 to 3 hours a morning, planning practice, talking about personnel, going over scouting reports, watching film, trying to make this team the best team it could possibly be. And I think in that you're developing you're learning in that situation. Bobby is he's a great guy to work for. And I've learned a lot in how to deal with people, administrative people, and also, more importantly, how to deal with your players in your program. And I think sometimes, you know, coaches get caught up into the X's and O's and other things, but I think the meat of it all is that you have to make sure, number one, that you gain the respect of your players, and also that those players are happy and that they will play for you, that they will compete for you.
As far as ACC fans are concerned, you've worked for another, or worked under another high-profile coach in Lefty Tuzel. How was it working with Lefty?
First of all, Lefty gave me my first opportunity as a coach.
Right.
I was right out of college at the time, still wet behind the ears, basically, and I learned a tremendous amount on the Lefty, just my, you know, in the 6 years I worked there. He like Bobby, he gave you, you know, a broad array of administrative duties to take care of, and you were thrust right into heavy, intense recruiting right off the bat. And he will let you get involved with scouting and game preparation and
you've worked for Bobby and Lefty, and then, you know, several great coaches you've worked for. Your name recently has popped up here and there for head coaching. Would you like to be a head coach, I'm sure, one day?
I would love to be a head coach one day. That's my career goal at this time.
That's most coaches, yeah.
And I guess what I've tried to do is do the best that I could possibly do at each program I've been at. And I've tried to use each program as a stepping stone. One of the reasons I really wanted the job here at Georgia Tech was because I thought it was in line with my career goal of being a head coach. I think I'd watched, you know, Perry Clark going to Tulane and George Felton going to South Carolina, and I had this unbelievable respect and admiration for Bobby Cremins, and I thought it would be great to be associated with someone like that.
Have you set any timetable as when you would like to, or are you just going to kind of play it by ear?
You know, I'm not going to say I'm playing it by ear, and I'm not going to say I have a timetable. I think head coaching situation, it just depends on what's available each year, I guess. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and we all sometimes, we want to jump at the first thing that happens, and we definitely get anxious about a head coaching job, and some of us even get frustrated. And I say a friend of mine in this profession. But the one important thing that I try to stay focused with is that I'm happy here at Georgia Tech. I have a great job, and I consider it to be one of the best coaching jobs in the country, an assistant coaching job in the country. And not to say that I could be choosy, but no, I don't want to say that, but I'm happy here, and if I'm here for 2, 3, 4 more years, that would be fine with me. But ultimately, if a good coaching opportunity comes up, and I'd definitely like to to get involved as best I could.
Well, like you're saying, for an assistant coach, you've got one of the best jobs in the country. And
exactly. Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely one of the best jobs in the country, because I think what you're looking for as an assistant in a program and is you want to make sure that it's a very solid program, both academically, a high-profile program in terms of exposure. You had a great conference, the Atlantic Coast Conference. And on top of that, you're located in one of the best metropolitan areas in the country, in the city of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
The Olympics coming here. So there's a lot of things working for you in your favor.
Mm-hmm. Well, this season here, as far as this season is concerned, what do you think are the keys to the team's success for the rest of for the next month and a half?
The key, as I said, for any success that we could have from this point forward would be regaining that competitive spirit that I'm sure we have in us. Obviously, we have the talent to be very successful and to finish up strong. But we need to blend that talent together, play more competitively, and be hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the team, I know it's had a little bit of ups and downs. Is that part of its youth showing through there?
I think some of the up and down it could be contributed to youth. And again, I don't want to make excuses. But you got to understand that for the most part, we have two sophomores out there on the floor and a freshman in Drew Barry most of the time. Michael Mack is our senior, and Brian Hill is seniors. But Ivano Newbill, who started most of the season, he's basically, up to this point, has not really played significant minutes for us.
Mm-hmm.
So he's considered a young player, mm-hmm. although he's a junior.
Yeah. Well, all things considered, not regarding this year, but all, are you happy with the way things are going for you at Tech?
I'm very pleased with the way things are going. My family loves living here in Atlanta. The people here at Georgia Tech, I think, are just wonderful people. I just think that, to be associated with a program like this, it means a lot to me.
You'd make that career move all over again, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. I would definitely make that move. When I left the West Coast, California, to come out here, some people, why would you leave California? That great weather, this and that. But it goes deeper than that, than the weather. And you got to make moves based on what's best for you and your career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did that in choosing Georgia Tech. I'm thankful that Bobby would consider me. It's so funny how that whole thing worked out, how I got the job here. I don't know if you knew that, but, I coached in Maryland, so I knew Bobby very well. I was recruiting against him and obviously playing against him. But during that summer of, I guess it was 88, I was at Nike All-American Camp,
mm-hmm.
Princeton, New Jersey. And I happened to be going down the escalator in the Marriott Hotel there, and I would see Bobby, and I just, hey, Bobby, how you doing? And he said, great. And I said, and we chatted just very briefly. And I thought at the last minute, I said, well, Bobby, next time you have a job opening, I'd definitely like to talk to you about it. Well, unbeknownst to me, because, again, I'm living in California,
mm-hmm.
Perry Clark was up for the Tulane job. And the very next day on my flight home to California, on the flight, I pick up the USA Today, and it says Perry Clark named head coach at Tulane.
Wow.
And so, obviously, the rest is history. I got on the phone, called Bobby, and we talked. And I never even came back to Atlanta for an official interview.
Mm.
We just talked over the phone, and we came to some terms. And I said, Bobby, this is where I'd want to coach. And if you would give me an opportunity, I'd work my butt off for you. And sure enough, it all worked out.
That's a story you don't hear about.
That's incredible how that worked out, and it has been fine. I think having a chance to work with Bobby and of course Kevin Cantwell,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Hebron, I think we have again, not to pat on back, but I think we have a very good staff here, and they're good people.
Yep. Well, very good. Well, Sherman, let me ask you one last question. This one doesn't have to do with it. It's Have you seen James Forrest's game go to another level this year?
Yes, definitely, particularly early. He, James, is, first of all, you know, when we recruited him, we knew he had a strong, he had a big body, and he was a tough kid, and also had some very good skills. But the thing that was always the question mark, could James play out on the perimeter? Could he move away from the bucket? And James, James worked really hard at that. He, first of all, he's I don't know if he lost weight, but he really toned his body. He looks like he's lost weight, but I think he's still probably 230, maybe 240. But he's, his body's really toned. He's looking good. And he's doing an outstanding job.
He's really shooting the ball real well, too.
He's shooting the ball extremely well, and that's attributed to James, because I think he really worked on it. He realized that he needed to improve his perimeter skills, and he worked really hard on that. And the thing with James is, if he can continue to keep up a consistent effort, you know, the future is just going to be unbelievable for him.
Well, great. Well, Sherman, I sure appreciate your time.
All righty.
And thanks so much, and good luck tomorrow night.
Okay, Bill. Thanks.
Bye-bye.